Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I used to drive an old Honda Nissan. It got me from point A to point B and to work, where I saved up money for years until I could eventually afford to replace it. And when that time eventually came, I decided to get what I had been hearing the most hype about, a Tesla. I knew it was supposed to be faster than any gas-powered car at the same price, and that it had a ton of futuristic features. What ended up selling me on it was the autopilot system, where the car could drive itself. I was too scared to use it for a while though. It took me about a week of owning the Tesla before I tried it out. I set a route from my house to all the way downtown. The car drove just fine through my neighborhood, and it did good on the bigger roads too. The real test came when it was time to get on the highway. I got a little freaked out as the Tesla started picking up speed, but to my surprise, the Tesla autopilot did great on the highway. I let it go for a few minutes, and then after I built up some confidence, and switched the autopilot from normal mode to speed demon mode. That's when the throttle pressed to the floor and started accelerating like a street racer. I was scared out of my mind, but then I realized the thing was driving better than I ever had, pulling off moves I could never do. I felt like I was cheating death every 5 seconds, blasting past car after car, doing basically nothing to drive myself. All I had to do was keep my hand on the steering wheel with a little pressure. Then the computer assumed I was still in control. Of course, I was not in control in the slightest. All I was doing was gawking out the side windows and watching everything go by in a blur, weaving through traffic like an absolute psychopath. I got so confident that I even laid my seat back and closed my eyes. I thought it would be funny to call up my friend on FaceTime and have him think I was sleeping in my car, only to point the camera out the window going 100 miles an hour.
Hey, dude. Dude, you shouldn't be FaceTiming me while you're driving.
Change your tampon and calm down. I'm just in my new Tesla. Look, I don't even have to drive. This thing is doing it for me.
What the hell? You're not driving? I don't think it's supposed to work like that. You still have to pay attention, man. Isn't that stuff in beta or whatever?
You're the only beta here, dude. Anyway, I'm gonna catch some Z's while I'm making my way downtown. Later.
Wait, don't!
I felt like a king. Gone were the days of having to drive myself around like a peasant. I told myself I'd never drive a car again. Autopilot from here on out, no exceptions. If I ever got pulled over for going too fast, then it wasn't my fault. It was all on Tesla. I got so used to driving on the highway that I actually started dozing off a bit. Things changed when I got off the highway though, and started driving through the streets of downtown. The speed demon was still speeding, weaving and racing through traffic. Only now the motions were even more exaggerated. I got so annoyed that I was about to get up and turn the autopilot back to normal mode. But all I saw when I put my seat up was a crowd of people. I realized too late that the car had lost control of itself, and I was about to plow straight into all of them. I blacked out on impact, and remember waking up on the dashboard, crammed up against the cracked windshield. There was smoke everywhere. All I could hear was the people outside screaming and crying. Moments later, I was dragged out of the car and placed on a stretcher. That's when I started to regain consciousness and realized what had just happened. The Tesla malfunctioned, and I wasn't there to correct it. That means all these injured people I saw getting taken into ambulance were hurt by me. That's when I started panicking and got off the stretcher begging for forgiveness.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean for this to happen. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Do that later, asshole. Get back on the stretcher.
I was panicking out of my mind in the ambulance. I didn't want to go to jail. I just wanted to go back 5 minutes and change everything. But of course, that wasn't going to happen. I was treated at the hospital, and as soon as the doctor said I was fine, I was discharged right in the hands of two cops who took me to jail. I found out that I had injured several people, and unfortunately killed one man, a husband and a father. I was sentenced to 5 years in prison, and my license was permanently suspended. The Tesla was totaled, so it's gone anyway. I've been out of prison for about a year now, and I spent a long time blaming myself. But then I realized I'm not the one at fault, so I'm currently seeking legal action against Tesla for allowing their dangerous and unreliable autopilot software to be operating two-ton death traps on our streets. But that won't change anything, as the damage has already been done. This story was inspired by a disturbing Tesla incident regarding a 44-year-old husband and father named Yoshihiro Yumita, who passed away in April 2010. When a Tesla Model X with autopilot turned on and crashed into a group that was involved in an earlier motorcycle accident outside Tokyo. It was alleged that the car in front of the Tesla changed lanes to avoid the group of bikers, but the Tesla driver was repeatedly dozing off, and the autopilot failed to change lanes and accelerated at the group. Umida's relatives filed a lawsuit against Tesla, claiming that the company's autopilot system is defective and incapable of handling common driving scenarios, and that its system for detecting drivers who aren't paying attention is fatally defective. The judge sided with Tesla's motion to dismiss, suggesting Japan is the most appropriate venue for the case based on the forum non-convenience law. Forum non-convenience says that a U.S. court can dismiss a case when another court may be better suited to hear it. The case has yet to be filed in Japan. The Tesla driver was officially sentenced to 3 years in prison and up to 5 years of suspension. I'm an engineer at a large Tesla manufacturing plant. I specialize in the implementation of software into various hardware applications made by the company. When I signed up to be an employee at Tesla, I wanted to work on the autonomous driving feature of the Tesla cars. However, my higher-ups determined my skills would be better used in their more experimental sector. That's how I ended up working on, or rather with, the humanoid Tesla robots. Those things have always creeped me the hell out. They look like the things from that Will Smith movie, I, Robot. I'm always expecting one of them to wink at me or tackle me through a high-rise window because it gained consciousness while I was digging around in its brain. Unfortunately, I don't have a choice but to work with them. I usually spend my days at work cooped up in a small research room. I'm usually on the other side of the glass from the robot as I watch it perform various tasks. Whenever there are faults, I typically just report them to the software department so they can fix the code. However, there are sometimes hardware issues that are catastrophic. I just shut the thing down and send it off to the appropriate department for repairs and stuff. But there are certain occasions in which the issue is minor enough that I'm qualified to fix it on the spot. In those cases, I have to enter the room with the robot, which I absolutely hated and dreaded doing. There are numerous protocols in place to remotely shut the robot down before entering the room, then to cut the power to the motor functions before doing anything else to it. But they still never put me at ease. These things have superhuman strength with subhuman restraint. The hydraulic strength it has in simply clenching its fist has enough power to crush a human femur, the strongest bone in the body. The only relief I have in working this job is that I'm almost never alone in the control room. It's against safety regulations to enter the room with the robot alone. There must be at least two people. Crucially though, this rule is the same no matter how many robots are in the room, so it is still possible to be outnumbered by the machines. This exact scenario happened to me recently, I was working with my colleague Adam and a few other engineers in the control room. On this particular day, we were doing an especially complex test. There were three robots in a line, testing their ability to complete tasks in a chain, just as they would be done in a real assembly line. During the test, one of the robots stopped working. It didn't mess up as it was performing perfectly fine until there was a minor power fluctuation, and then it just froze up. The other robots on either side of it continued to function as normal, but they stopped once they realized the chain was broken. Adam and I disabled all three robots from the control room, but we were unable to diagnose the issue from there. Suspecting the problem might require a manual reset, Adam and I prepared to go into the testing room together. I went to the robot at the end of the line and opened up its interface to ensure it was powered down. Adam stopped at the first one to do the same before going to the robot in the middle. All he had to do was ensure the motor functions were off, then hit the reset button. Something as simple as resetting your router when your internet goes out. But as Adam walked to the backside of the robot, it turned around and grabbed him. It had him by the throat and raised him into the air, squeezing his neck. I rushed over and smashed the emergency stop button, but it did nothing. The robot swung over with lightning speed and struck me with Adam's body. I crashed into the wall behind me and hit my head. Then I fell to the floor. As I watched the robot smash Adam into the ground and rip him to shreds.
Help! Get this thing off me! Ah! Adam! No! 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 Ah!
The robot came after me, but I quickly rolled under the assembly equipment. Then I bolted for the door. That thing was a split second away from ripping the door out of my hands and escaping into the factory, but I just barely managed to get the door locked and trap it inside. It immediately started to break through. It didn't have eyes, but I could tell through the window that it wanted to kill me and destroy me just like it had done to Adam. Thankfully, before the wretched thing could get out, the security team came and decommissioned the machine with ballistic force. I barely escaped with my life. Yet Tesla is committed to underreporting the severity and frequency of the injury sustained by the workers in their plants. Adam's death was never reported. The whole situation was downgraded from death and dismemberment to just a minor injury. I know that disclosing this, even anonymously, will surely have me fired and sued, but the public needs to know how dangerous these abominations are. I'm terrified as hell when or if Tesla decides to mass produce these things. This story was inspired by a horrific incident regarding a Tesla engineer who was injured by a robot that pinned him to the wall at the company's giant factory in Texas. The 2021 incident came to light through an injury record filed to two regulators. It noted the injury type is laceration, cut, and open wound, and recorded the quote-unquote cause object as a robot. The robot allegedly pushed its claws into the man's body and drew blood from his back and arm, two witnesses said. After another worker hit the emergency stop button, the engineer managed to escape the robot's grasp and fell down a chute designed to collect scrap metal, leaving a trail of blood behind him, one of the witnesses said. The incident happened when the engineer was programming the software that controls the robots, which cut car parts from aluminum. Two of the robots were disabled, but the third was inadvertently left on. As it went through its normal motions, it caught the worker in its claws. It has also been reported that almost 1 in 21 workers at Tesla's Giga Texas factory was injured on the job in 2022, which isn't good when compared to the industry average of 1 in 30. But one thing that's disturbing about all of this robot attack talk was how one happened recently and was caught on camera. A shocking incident at a festival in China has sparked heated debate about the safety of AI-powered robots.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A viral video circulating on social media appears to show a humanoid robot moving erratically toward festival goers before security guards intervene. In the video, one of the robots can be seen unexpectedly moving towards the crowd in an aggressive manner. While it remains unclear whether it attempted to hit people or simply stumble due to a barricade. The situation escalated quickly, prompting security personnel to step in. Some claim the robot was attacking attendees, while others argue it was simply a malfunction. Either way, it was downright terrifying, considering movies like iRobot and Terminator exist. I live in the US, but I travel a lot for work. When I'm visiting home for the holidays, I stay at the Trump Tower. The hotel is very busy at that time of year, so I always book my room months in advance. The place was always packed as hell. There were always people packed in the lobby, crowding the restaurant to get a table, and lining up in the driveway to get the valet to park their car. I always get a cab or an Uber, so the valet line is never an issue for me. Over the years, I've seen just about every type of nice car in that line, but recently, I've been seeing one type of car that sticks out like a sore thumb. Those stupid pieces of shit Cybertrucks. I've got nothing against Elon Musk. It's gotten to the point in the last few years that I see one of them in line almost every time I go in or out of Trump Towers. I even started to recognize one particular Cybertruck because of the driver inside it. It was this large, creepy-looking guy. I remember seeing him often, and he would always give me this creepy-ass stare through his window. The guy looked like he was in the military, with a high and tight haircut and a bulky jaw. On that first trip I saw him, I went in and out of the building maybe a dozen times for one reason or another, and I feel like I saw him every other time. It was almost like he was just going in and out, driving around in circles just to get back in line for the valet. It honestly made me a bit paranoid, like he was surveilling me, even though I would have no logical reason to be watched. Still, I took a mental picture of his license plate, then I wrote it down once inside so I could recognize it. Once I had that information, I was able to confirm without looking inside the vehicle that it was the same Cybertruck waiting in line every single time. But it wasn't just one trip that I saw this guy. It happened the next year, and the next year after that. When I stayed at Trump Towers through these last holidays, I saw him every single time I entered or left the building. On the night of New Year's Eve, I left to be with my family. On the way back in, for once, there wasn't anybody in line for the valet. I figured everyone was still out celebrating, so this time, I cut across the driveway instead of sticking to the sidewalk. And then all of a sudden, I saw a Cybertruck barreling toward me. Ah! I thought it was going to hit me, but it came screeching to a halt just inches away from me. I was terrified at first, but when I realized I was still alive, all the fear turned into anger. I could barely see through the windshield, but I knew it was the same guy that always looped through the valet. So I went off on him and started screaming at him and kicking the truck.
You idiot, you could have killed me! Say goodbye to your stupid Cybertruck! Goddamn thing never should have been made in the first place! What are you, driving on autopilot? Are you watching the hub and playing with yourself or something? Why don't you pay attention to where you're going instead of letting this dumbass thing run people over, dipshit?
When I'd let off all my steam, I realized the guy was just staring at me. He hadn't reacted at all. He had the same expression as he always did. Nothing but empty, directionless rage. He was starting to creep me out. So before the interaction went any further, I dropped it and went inside. From there, I called it a night and prepared to fly home the following morning. Except, when I got down to the lobby, I looked through the glass and saw the Cybertruck at the front of the valet line. I walked over to check the license plate, and it was the same guy as always. So I stayed inside since my ride wasn't there yet, just in case this guy was still angry about the previous night. I took a seat near the exit and waited, only for the unthinkable to happen seconds later. The Cybertruck exploded, sending me flying across the lobby floor. I was dazed, my ears were bleeding, and for a second, I had no idea where I was or what had just happened, but as I looked around, it all came back. It was pure chaos in there. Eventually, cops and paramedics arrived, and I got checked at the hospital. Nothing else had happened. It was just the one explosion. But before it was even confirmed, I knew who was responsible. It was the same guy I kept seeing outside the building. Apparently, it was this ex-military guy who went psycho after years of PTSD. He planted bombs in his car and doused it with fuel for even more destruction. They say he used ChatGPT to help him figure out how to go through with it. Thankfully, everyone but him survived his attack. I just think I'll never be able to look at a Cybertruck and feel safe ever again. This story was inspired by a disturbing incident regarding a decorated soldier who was behind a Tesla Cybertruck bombing outside the Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas. It was reported that the suspect allegedly used the artificial intelligence platform, ChatGPT, to plan the attack, which happened on New Year's Day. U.S. Army Special Forces Master Sergeant Matthew Livelsberger looked into the amount of explosives he would need, where to buy fireworks, and how to buy a phone without providing identifying information. Police say that this may be the very first incident on U.S. soil where ChatGPT is utilized to help an individual build a particular device. Officials are still working to determine what exactly detonated the explosion, but said it could have been the muzzle flash from the firearm Livelsberger used. A review of a note on Livelsberger's phone showed that Livelsberger believed that people were following him, which included details on Livelsberger's activities leading up to the bombing, including his purchase of firearms and picking up the Cybertruck as a rental. Investigators in the Army found that Livelsberger likely had post-traumatic stress disorder, along with family issues and personal grievances that may have contributed to his actions. Officials say Livelsberger did not have any criminal history, nor did he have any animosity toward President Trump.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.